From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. And this week, Andrew is going to take us on a tour of one of my favorite parts of Windows. WMI?
Windows Management Instrumentation.
Right.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah,
I think
Windows 2000.
Yeah.
Ish.
It's kind of like analogous to the registry, I guess. It's a configuration database, and you can actually do methods on it and stuff, but mainly you just use it for data reading.
Right. It's kind of the whole architecture for sort of querying data about the OS
and
setting things.
And particularly things like if you want to learn about, I don't know, what processor architecture I have, or how many physical RAM sticks is there in the machine, all that stuff that's really low level that we don't really surface any other way. There's not really a Win32 API for it. There's not really a registry key for it, so it's questions like that.
And I know our internal tools use this for a lot of, like for example, MSInfo32 underneath goes and makes WMI calls to query all your hardware information.
And Watson does too. When is there reporting when something goes wrong? It goes, oh, it's this code. Then okay, we'll also run this WMI query to get your chassis number or something like that, or some branding things. We go so we can, you know, work out if it's a model thing. Yeah, if we see it as memory corruption, then we'll ask for, you know, what type of RAM stick vendor do you have, and do those type of weird stuff.
Right.
It's been around for a while. It's kind of like SQL Server in the way you approach it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a database and tables, if you want to analogize it to that. Actually, it has a language called the WMI query language, WQL, which is the same as SQL, really. You know, select statements, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of tools in box that come with it. The one that shipped originally was WBEM test. And so WBEM is the interface. So if you look at the COM interface, it's all IWBEM something. And then you can do stuff. So
people tend to pronounce it WebM, which is not exactly right, I guess.
Whatever it is.
You know, close enough, right? It's easier to say than WBEM.
WebM test. So it's showing its age. It's not exactly the sexiest API or UI.
I don't think this UI has changed since about Windows 2000.
Yeah. So what you do is you can catch a machine. It's a remote service type thing. So you can talk to your remote servers if you want. You can see here, this is the interface for this area of the code. Mm-hmm. Very developer focused as far as the UI.
Mm-hmm.
Usable by anybody, but developer focus. There's namespaces, so different products can add to the WMI namespace. CIMV2 is the standard Windows one where most of the Windows stuff goes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to use that for this example. All these things are, you know, pretty good at the defaults. You just click, 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 okay.
Yeah.
So you have to worry about all this asynchronous and delegation and all that stuff. And then we can do things like enumerate the classes, and we'll just look at the main level, and now there's no scroll bars down here on this UI, so it's kind of yucky.
Pretty sweet UI.
And you can see the CIM, configuration information management, whatever it is, hardware, hardware inventory, so information about the UEFI. So what you've got in the namespace is these classes, which is like a table,
right?
And then you can do like select asterisks from that table and see data. Each row would be what's called each row is an instance. So,
and you can see that there's been things added. For example, up there you have Office 2013.
Oh yeah.
So
CT.
You install things.
C2R, whatever that means. Yeah.
They add things.
Counter.
I don't know. Yeah. Have to ask the office people.
There's some SMS stuff, and then there's the Win32 ones. Now, Win32 ones you'll see a lot in like in examples and how-tos and stuff like that. And if you go to the Scripting Guy blog, they've got a lot of WMI scripts written in VBScript or some type of language like that that use a lot of the Win32 ones. I think operating system, I don't know if it's in this namespace or not, but there's one called operating system that a lot of people like to use just to get like the service pack number and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots and lots, goes on and on. Reg, I think, is registry type stuff, and it goes on. So, pretty yucky interface.
Yeah.
I will say that this is where you can practice your querying quite fast if you have a select statement. So okay. if you're trying to get it right in code, you know, just type it in here and
do it. So you could test it here before you go write your VB script or whatever.
Yeah. I've used this tool a fair bit over the years, just to look up stuff that's hard to find, it does the job. It's shipped for forevermore, and it's around. Mm-hmm. What there is, though, which is much easier to use, is PowerShell. So PowerShell came out in Windows 7.
Yeah.
7? Or Vista?
One of those.
One of those good ones.
It shipped like after the fact. You had to download it. I forget when it actually was in the product.
So there is a commandlet called get WMI object. WM is enough to tab complete, if you can just remember that much. And then what we have is for its... the ones I care about is there's namespace, so you can choose the namespace that you want to work on. And the other one that you tend to use is class. So like one of the ones we had before was Win32, processor, I think.
Processor, computer name. Oh, processor, yeah.
And so.
There you go.
Bang. And then it's got information that I know what one I was thinking of. It was hardware inventory. UEFI. And so, yes, I have, this was a UEFI boot, and so be it. So a lot of these underscores are more about the metadata of the class rather than the data. So like these two would be made by the class, and this describes where it is. So like, this is the class name, this is its namespace that it lives in, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So what you can do, if you want to see what's around, is, so we're using the root CIM v2 namespace. Mm-hmm. What we can say is, I'm gonna talk to the root namespace, which is at the bottom of the tree. Mm-hmm. And what I wanna do is find the classes where the class is namespace, which kind of sounds weird, but we'll do this and we'll see what happens. And what this is gonna do is, from the root namespace, return me the data of every class that is of type namespace.
Okay.
Which means there's a lot of those. Let's just bring it down to the name. As you can see, all the namespaces that exist. So like root CMIV2 was the one that, as I said, these tools tend to default to. Mm-hmm. But you can see there's ASP.NET ones and MDAC, distributed transaction coordinator, and stuff like that. So quite a lot. When you go to, MSDN and stuff like that, you search for it, you'll get given the class name, and then you also get given the namespace right next to it and keep it to in sync. A namespace can be under a namespace, and so I know for a fact that there's a namespace under CMIV2, which is the big Microsoft one, and there's a whole lot more under there. So what we can say is under here, list me all the classes. Which one should we choose? Power? Which one? I don't know.
Sure.
And so there's all the classes under power. Mm-hmm. And you can see there's a whole lot. Let's just do a bit of a. There's all the power classes. Mm-hmm. And so the way you would access like the power plan I'm on, this one, is I would go from the namespace, blah, 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 power. Show me all instances of the class power plan. And there seems to be 1, 2, 3 power plans on this box.
Very cool.
So very simple.
That's interesting because we I don't know, didn't we have an episode on the power something?
Yeah,
the
power CFG.
Power CFG, which I think is probably using the same back end as this.
I'm sure it is, yeah.
Different interface to the same thing.
Yeah, so
yeah.
It's not overly complex. Mm-hmm. Great for scripting, great in PowerShell. It's a deal. So when you execute these things, let's use a Process Explorer. They actually execute in the context of these classes here. WMI, PRV, SE.
Yeah.
And I think since we've got some time, haven't used too much time up, I know for a fact that on my box, unfortunately, that Proc Dump has been capturing that process crashing.
Mm.
Right. So I, unfortunately, by observation, I have seen these crash a fair bit. Like if you turn proc dump minus MA minus I on most boxes,
right,
you will find these crashes. And it's not this program specifically that's crashing. It's the provider loaded into it.
Right.
So let's debug into this one and see why this WMI provider is crashing and maybe root cause it down to at least the provider or the scope or the command that was happening.
You know, a lot of times, just a little side note, I see performance issues where you look at the CPU usage and you see WMI PRVSE is like through the roof, 100%, just CPUs pegged. And people are like, what's this WMI PRV thing and why is it using all my CPU? And what it is in that case is not necessarily that WMI has a problem, but that somebody on your machine is executing a ton of WMI queries, and those get routed into a WMI PRVSE instance, and it starts going nuts. So the thing to look at if you see that is you know, who else on the machine is doing a lot of WMI queries.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I'll move around some of these columns, and you also see that you'll get multiple instances in different security contexts.
Yeah.
All right, so based on what the query is and or the provider is, it will run as a different account. All right. Now, you also, this I know that, hopefully, I don't know if this is gonna do this command we used here, but what I might do is I'll set the delay, where's it, options, highlight duration, that's what it, yeah. So the delay is set to 9 seconds, so that red and green effect is gonna be around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna run this power plan one. Didn't have it, but a lot of providers are only done on demand, and so you will see WMI PRVSEs start for a command and disappear for a command.
Interesting.
And in fact, the dump we're going to debug here is one of those where it's a transitory one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's open this guy up. Clear screen. I'm going to do some absolute fundamental debugging here. So you can kind of do this on every on any machine or any crash.
Mm-hmm.
This happens to be a good example of the generic case, so I'm going to do it that way. So I'm going to find out why we crashed, right? So EXR minus one is tell me the last exception, what went wrong, and here's the code. PDE, which you can download off the OneDrive, has an error function, and so runtime operated because someone called system.environment.farfast. Farfast is the tidy way of saying terminate process. It just happens to go through Windows Error Reporting and report everything rather than just disappearing without notice. So someone called farfast, which is fine. So we'll just do a K command to look at the stack. Actually, what I'm going to do is just make sure that everything's good. I'm just going to force reload the symbols. And you can see, lo and behold, there's the farfast that the exception description talks about, right? So someone here has called a farfast. Now, this happens to be a CLR stack. So WMI providers can be written in both .NET and in C++ or a native language. There is a fair few in CLR, so this is going to be a CLR type of debug.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that this is where things started to go wrong, raise exception, and then we're in some CLR code, and we actually don't have
somebody there.
Anything really to talk about. And then there's another thing. So the WMI is trying to do some COM calls. So this is a very regular thing to jump between. This is like interop type code. And then the bottom of the RPC stack that asked to do this whole thing. So this thing got says, please do some work over COM. It turned it into a CLR work. And then it hit an exception. And then that died. So if we have an exception, we can just do bang PE and see what happened. Now we know that the fail fast happened up above, and that happens when the system wants to close down. It just so happens is when you do a fail fast, you always will get an execution engine exception. This is one of the reserve exceptions that we always have around in memory, just to flag, to tag onto something. And it just says we are shutting down. This is roughly the exception of fail fast. If we want to continue our investigation into numbers, it's an error code that says internal CLR error. So you kind of haven't really got anywhere so far.
Yeah.
But we will. But we know that it fell fast. We know that the engine just decided to shut down hard.
Yeah.
So let's find out why. We know from the stack that it's a CLR stack, so let's look at the stack, so dump stack objects.
Right.
And when we do that, we get some nice, juicy text up here. So in the registers are always great places to look because you know they're current, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a system.reflection target invocation exception, and there's also some strings hanging around, unaccept exception thrown from provider.
So file not found.
If we grab this address,
seems interesting,
and do a bank PE on the thing that's the most recent exception up top,
mm-hmm.
We get a reflection exception, which is this one.
Print
and
exception.
Unsurprisingly, right? The text said, we saw the text before, it said something about file IO, right?
Mm-hmm.
It said, where was it? Unexpected exception thrown from the provider and system.io.file not found exception.
Mm-hmm.
System could not find something. So, unsurprisingly, inside the target invocation exception, which is just the code being moved around through interrupt and stuff, within it is an in exception of file not found. Click on that. We can see that before we jump there, that it's to do with system management instrumentation. So this is the provider.
This is some WMI provider.
Yep. And then here is the file not found exception. And so, Windows application NI, Windows application model, which is very WinRT sounding, mm-hmm. get installed location, mm-hmm. particularly when it has the word package in it.
Package, yeah.
Right. So it seems to be something to do with WinRT
provider, configuration manager. You can kind of get a sense just from the function names that what this has to do with. Yeah.
So the configuration manager is trying to do something about getting installed locations.
Getting installed location, and there was some file not found.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it was within the WMI query. So we've kind of done all of this. So what we want to do is, this is kind of a trick to narrow down the scope, because there's no function names in here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what applies before and after the file not found through.
Mm-hmm.
So really we're trying to find what was the file that was not found, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so what we can do is start from the bottom, work our way up, and what we're looking for is file not found. And so to simplify this, I'm just going to bold any line that has file not in it. And so there's right at the bottom, you can see that was the first time we put it on the stack,
mm-hmm.
and it was just after we were doing some WMI stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're looking a little bit further up, we've got no real evidence anywhere close, but here's the first string, right? And actually what we can do is, we'll grab it out. So find me all the strings that are on the stack. And so you can see all these strings. Here's all those error text that we had as part of the exception.
Mm-hmm.
And here's actually a package name. So just by experience, you'll recognize this AWEKY.
Yeah.
It's just a hash of, or BitFlip or XOR, whatever it is, of Microsoft. And that's a Microsoft one.
Mm.
And then this is a package GUI. Now, if you actually go to RegEdit, I'm not going to do it because it takes ages to find it. This actually is a Visual Studio 2012 component.
Oh, okay.
So
this is, it's not installed on your system, or it's missing a
file?
Well,
yeah, we don't really know. So we actually can get to root cause on this one. So we have the file not found exception, so let's jump back to this guy and print him out as an exception.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of bland, and he just gives us that stack that we saw before.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the error code if we want to be, that's kind of the same as this. I think this is going to be a very benign.
It's just going to be file not found.
File not found.
Yeah.
But if you click on it as an object, so this is, we're looking at it as an exception right now. If we print on it as just straight field information, here's the message, I'm not going to repeat it. Here's the exception, which there isn't any, which is fine. And then down here, unfortunately,
It's blank.
So one of the options in the constructor for the file not found exception is to specify the file name, and unfortunately the person who raised this
Didn't do that.
Oh. Which would be rather obvious, I thought. But
seems like if your file isn't found, that you'd put that in the exception.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But no. So what we need to do is find the file, right? So we really have kind of got close to it, but not to the end. So that's while we're in the CLR space, we know that these two things are hanging around. So let's see what this WMI stuff has. Maybe the WMI provider can give us a bit of a clue. Mm-hmm. So we'll start from the bottom, work our way up. Here's the that WMI native WBM provider. Mm-hmm. Log of what it's doing. It's an event log object. So mm-hmm. probably there's actually something in the event log we could read.
That's a good point.
And then a path parser, which is kind of interesting. All zeros.
Not really.
What's the namespace we're from? All zeros, so we're kind of locked out there. So we're in America. We didn't lock out.
Didn't, oh. Oh, I didn't realize that was a difference, the regional thing.
So, what was the other class down the bottom here? So, let's try the second one.
Okay.
And so, oh, here we are. So we've got a class name. And here we go. So it's
nice all these are clickable with DML.
Preferred DMLs needs to be turned on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's our WMI class, SMS Windows 8 application. Provider, blank, thank you very much. There's not much to use.
Oh, there I saw something.
And full path class name, which is our salvation, it's right here. So there is the namespace, and here is the class.
Okay.
So let's jump up over to PowerShell and see what they're going on about. So
it's not necessarily a file that's not found, but maybe a class that's not installed.
Something like that, yeah. Get WMI object from the namespace, root, CMV to SMS, and I want all class names that start with SMS, and list them for me, please. So there you go.
Oh,
it's
one.
Registered, yeah. It's real, it's
there.
So let's do something with it. So
ooh, you got a typo there.
Do I? Windows.
Windows.
So executing, taking a little while. And com exception.
You got the same kind of.
So, and if we look in the folder, we have a brand new dump file.
Another dump. Well, I think you just reproduced the problem.
Which is great, right? Because you've narrowed down what you really have to do. So, just from looking around from a couple of CLR things, you've actually worked out, well, this is the class, this is the provider, and we can go from there. So, we can do a quick bing on this guy. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it is from System Center Configuration Manager.
Oh.
Right, so we've narrowed down to the product.
So the product, maybe there's some kind of a...
Yeah, something wrong with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, this is trying to look at Windows 8 applications. So it's either the Windows 8 applications are maybe registered wrong or the provider's got a bug in it. So 50-50, right?
The provider itself could be crashing on trying to enumerate something.
Some bad data or something, So, but at least you know, you've narrowed it down to System Center.
Mm-hmm.
You now have a repro ability. You can just go into PowerShell and just do the same thing
run
again.
That. Mm-hmm.
And you can work out whether you fixed it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that file not found still not kind of knowledgeable. So there's a couple of ways of approaching
still
this.
It'd be nice to find that file name.
So we can do it two ways. Mm-hmm. We can hopefully find it in the dump file, which we actually can do, and I'll do it in a sec.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way of doing it is because we have repro now, is we actually can just use process monitor.
Process monitor. Sure.
And do it that way.
That's what I was going to say.
The other thing you could do, I tried doing this and it's very hard, is that you could try to catch the file not found exception in the code, and because there must be a string there somewhere.
Yeah.
But the problem is the WMI service that does this, and I'll actually show you this running. We'll put this on the left. Whoops, put that on the right. You'll see that when I run this, we get a new one.
Mm.
Now, which is actually a problem because you can't attach to it, or you can't wait for it and attach to it because there's too many of the same name.
Right.
So that doesn't work.
Oh, right.
If you put it into image file execution options, because it's a hostable service, because you put the debugger in the middle, so roughly what happens when you do IFEO is instead of it invoking the program, it invokes the debugger, and then the debugger starts it, but then the RPC channel doesn't work, and then it fails. So it's one of those situations where Proc Dump actually can't be used to do it. You can do it with PerfView, which we've seen in the last couple of weeks. PerfView will show you the file exception.
Right.
And you can correlate that to file ETW events as well.
Right.
Or you actually can fall back to the slightly more graphical, easier way of doing it and just use Process Monitor. And actually, we can actually do Process Monitor quickly and how you would approach it. Do a reset. Because you'll notice that there was a Windows error reporting kicks in. So this is running. It's making that new dump in the background.
Yeah, we've probably failed by now.
Yeah, my hard drive's going flat, chat.
Just dumping now.
You can see the, there's the file.
There it goes.
And then we can stop the stop the capture. Control T for process view. And then we're looking for where fault. There's where fault. There's the new process.
That's apparent.
So let's include this process. We don't need the whole tree because that's not really pertinent. And then we know it's file-based, so let's get rid of that. Get rid of registry, get rid of network. I'm going to keep the image events. I don't care about load image. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'll get rid of file for a second. You'll see where I'm going with this. Here is when we made where fault. Because right? Where fault is made by the person who crashes.
Right.
So that's too late. So we want to exclude the events after then. So that's back in time. And then now we want to look at the file events instead. And we are at the bottom. So we've filtered it down to the process by using the process tree.
Yeah, and then the time.
And then this is all the same thread, which is awesome. So it's one train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
We're down from the end of where we care about upwards, and then we can just look upwards.
And it looks like we have some configuration manager stuff here. Yep. So it looks like we're in the right place.
So this one, so yeah, it matches what we was trying to do. And then here's something you didn't find. It was actually looking for, it successfully loaded, blah, 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 WinRT provider.dll. Then it tried to load WinRT provider.pdb, a symbol for it. It didn't find it there. So then it tried to find that folder, then that folder, then that folder. And then it gave up, right? And actually what we could do is we could filter it to create file because that's really all we need.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of more at the end here that are successful, which is probably it trying to report itself, you know, generating the stack and stuff.
So you think maybe it's crashed trying to find that PDB file.
Yeah, and so that's this. There's one successful, so this jump to is going to work. And lo and behold, we end up with a folder which has a log file in it. And before I jump into that, which is kind of the end of the game, let's use pde.dpx to see if we can work out some strings, right?
Okay.
So du, dump Unicode strings. And so here's all the Unicode strings on the stack. So this is what you'd more, this is more the approach if it was a native dump rather than a CLI dump. Happens to work for both in this case. Here's our strings of everything going wrong. Here's a file name of someone, which happens to be the same folder. There's the DLL success. And so it gives us, and actually right here is all our classes, WMI class. And right here actually is the select statement that we try to do. So as I said, it's kind of like a SQL in this way. So what we can do is instead of doing it by class, we can say once we're in the correct namespace, it's still the namespace still is required, we can actually say
Do the query.
And this is going to crash as well. So you might be able to narrow it down to just one, maybe one column. Maybe that helps you in your repro. You know, I don't need this, I do not need this. But that's the exact command that failed. If you look at the crash that this one generated, because we just went roughly select asterisks, you won't find that in the dump file. You just get more of a select asterisks approach. So in this case, we actually have a Hail Mary, and we open up this log file in the folder that we've narrowed it down to, and it says it quite here, an exception occurred during uninstallation of blah, 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 which is the class that will system management instrumentation, which is WMI, or the development provider for System Center. There was a null reference exception, blah, blah, blah. This exception will be ignored and uninstall will continue. However, the application might be fully uninstalled after the uninstall is complete. So, you know, you've got a partial install
some
of
kind of
configuration manager.
Which would explain why it might be missing some files.
Yep. And so, not too hard of debug.
So the fix would be go and either try to completely uninstall it or reinstall one of the two.
So, this is WMI. WMI is kind of cool. It's one of those things that you kind of forget about. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the event log that you forget about it. It's there. It's always there. It has questions that you can ask of it. It has a lot of auditing information in it, a lot of logs that are equivalent to an event log that you can ask and get information about products. Much more focused on, providers are made to focus on a product, and so it can give you really deep insight. Sure, there's a lot of providers that are about the hardware. Mm-hmm. One, I like particularly the one that says physical memory, right? It tells you about the DIMM stick and what bank it's in and all that type of stuff and who manufactured it. I think that's one of the coolest ones.
Winnie, line 32. Freudian slip there.
And very so cool. You can see, hey, this is the speed of the DIMM stick. Mm-hmm. It's 64-bit wide. It runs 128 internal. Mm-hmm. It's known as physical memory 1, and there's two of them on my machine. It's made by Hyundai.
Very
like a car's been making my RAM. here's its exact part number, so if you want to look it up on something. Mm-hmm. All that type of stuff. And the same thing goes with, your CPU, your network card, all those things.
Serial number, yeah.
And then, it's all in there. And then slightly higher than that, all your policies to do with power and battery. Yeah. And
I know in some of the other namespaces, like the root WAC WMI namespace, has a bunch of stuff about storage, iSCSI, if you're on a server.
Yep. I said battery, and it tells me somewhere in here that it is somewhere, it tells me that it's actually at the back of the chassis. Yeah, she tells me
where it's physically located.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know for things like cameras, for example, it has we've got things in there where it says whether it's front mounted, whether it's back mounted.
Yeah.
So we can make all sorts of different decisions and apps. And,
yeah. WMI. Cool.
Very cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks again for watching, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah, we have a couple of tapes in the bag, so they're going to go over the vacation. So this is the last chance we have to say, have a happy holidays and be safe.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you in the new year after the block of we'll see you with new episodes to us
that we've already
after the block of.
We have to pre-tape some things because the studio gets closed during
Christmas. Last week. So.
Yes. All right.
All right.
All right. As always, if you have questions or comments, email them to us at defragtools@microsoft.com or put them in the show notes right below. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for watching. Bye.